We're going to be reading from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through to verse 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. How do you feel about New Year? You know, when you take last year's calendar off the wall and put on this year's, or when you hear people talking about the resolutions they're going to be making for 2023, when you write 2023 on that important form for the first time, or maybe like me, you get to mid-January and you're still writing 2022. How do you feel about New Year? I think for some of us, that the change, it brings with it kind of feelings of excitement, of hope, of anticipation. What will this year hold? But I guess for others of us, the feelings may not be so positive. Maybe the idea of a new year actually brings with it worries, anxieties, fears for the future. I don't know, I'm just guessing, but it could be that maybe perhaps if we're in the latter part of our life and we've experienced quite a lot of New Year's already, the change isn't so much full of excitement and joy. The change actually feels more like a burden. How do you feel about New Year? Well, as Margaret mentioned, this morning we're thinking about Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Each year at Kensington Baptist Church, in the first Sunday of the year, we like to take a verse for the year, a motto verse, if you will. And we've printed it on these cards, so do please take one. If there isn't one on your chair, there's one on the table at the back. Do grab one, and as Margaret encouraged us, stick it up on your fridge. Put it on your desk and remind it. Use it this year to maybe text it to a friend halfway through the year, or come back to it, meditate on it, pray about it. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. It's an inspiring verse, isn't it? Famous words. If you grew up coming to church, you might have remembered learning about it in Sunday school. If you're on Instagram, you might have seen it set like this against a pretty background, typically with somebody on top of a mountain like we've got here. But what's important for us to realize is that this verse comes smack bang in the middle of massive change for Israel. Did you notice that from our reading in the first two verses? After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. These verses come right in the middle of massive change for Israel. Right after the death of Moses. Their leader is dead, and not just any leader. Up to this point in the history of the Bible, there had been no one quite like Moses. If you know the big overarching story of the Bible, you know back in Exodus, Israel came within an inch of its life from being cut off from fellowship with God. And the only reason they could continue their relationship with God was because Moses remained in fellowship with God. Moses, as it were, kind of attached. He hitched his people's future to his. When Moses was up the mountain meeting with God, his people, God's people, melted down all of the gold that God had given them and made a statue of a calf, and they started bowing down and worshipping it. And because of Moses' fellowship, that relationship could continue. And so here we have the people of Israel. Moses is dead. And although they're on the edge of the promised land, there's a raging great river standing between them and it. If there was any point in Israel's history where they would experience and feel the power of life's changes, well, this was it. And in that moment, God says to Joshua, and he tells Joshua to say to his people, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." How could God say that to Joshua? How could Joshua say that to God's people? How can God say that to us this morning? Well, the reason he can say verse 9 is because whilst life is full of changes, there are some things that never change. Let me say that again. Whilst life is full of changes, there are some things that always stay the same. And in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, we're going to see three things. Three things for God's people. Three things for everyone who trusts in Jesus that always stay the same. Number one, in life's changes, be strong and courageous because you have God's promise. Number two, be strong and courageous because you have God's presence. And number three, be strong and courageous because you have God's word. You have God's promise. You have God's presence. And you have God's words. The first thing the writer of these verses emphasizes to Joshua is that he still has God's promise. Although Moses might have died, God's promise hadn't. Have a look again with me to the little number 2, verse 2 there. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west." And then again in verse 5, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Ever since the days of Abraham back in Genesis, you may remember Genesis chapter 12, hundreds of years before, God had been promising his people that they would receive a land. And what a land it was. From the great river of the Euphrates in the east, right through to the Mediterranean in the west. That was the land that God was going to give them. But then right at the last minute, Moses dies. Right at the last hurdle. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that. You're planning something. Maybe it's a holiday. Maybe it's a wedding. Whatever it is, you're planning something. And then just at the last moment, something seems to come along which just for a moment you might think put the whole thing in jeopardy. Well, for Joshua and the other Israelites, this is maybe how they might have been tempted to feel. The stakes would have seemed really high because this was about the home that God had been promising his people for hundreds of years. Perhaps it couldn't have got even bigger than this. And so does God say to Joshua, "Well, Moses, my servant, dead, so now you've got to wait"? Does God say to Joshua, "Now, Moses, my servant, is dead, you've got to mourn"? No, he says, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Verse 2, "Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I'm about to give you." Moses may die, but God's promises live on. Some things in life may change, but there are some things which always stay the same. because you have God's promise. We've already acknowledged, haven't we, that for some of us here this morning, a new year won't bring feelings of excitement and hope. Rather, it will bring feelings of fear, feelings of doubt, feelings of worry. And maybe as you change that calendar on your wall this morning, you were struck by how short life seems, how quickly the time passes. But I guess there could be some of us here this morning whose fears about this coming year are actually a little bit more specific than that. Maybe like Joshua, we are coming into this year without someone significant in our lives. Maybe we've recently, over the last year, lost a parent, a sibling, a child, a close friend. And as you put that calendar up on the wall this morning, as you hear people discussing New Year's resolutions, as you write down 2023 on that important form, you can't help but wonder, how am I going to get through this year without them? Well, it doesn't matter if our anxieties around New Year are general or specific. These verses meet us where we're at. Do you see that? Because for God's people, if we're followers of Jesus, well, we can know that we have God's promise. Actually, it doesn't matter if you're here a Christian or not. You've got to realize that life changes, right? There are people often coming into life and always going out. Babies being born and people passing away. And that isn't true for just for us as individuals, but that's actually true for us as a church as well. If you've been at Kensington for any length of time, you may have noticed, I don't know whether it's our history or our location, whatever it is, but we often have people arriving and then people leaving, don't we? Maybe you're a new, visiting this morning. I want to say how great it is to have you here. If you live close by in Bristol, please come back next week. It will be great to see you. We have a welcome kind of newcomers event coming up in the middle of January, 18th of January, I think it is. Make sure you come along to that. And if you're someone actually who has been at Kensington for a while, maybe even a member of our church, make sure we watch out for those people who are new, people who are coming for the first time. Take them out for a coffee, perhaps. Invite them over for a meal. But whether it's in church life or in our lives as individuals, things are always changing, aren't they? And at times that can be nerve-wracking. But here's the thing. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're one of God's people, in life's changes you can be strong and courageous because you have God's promise. You have God's promise. And the remarkable thing is, as you read these verses, I don't know if you sense this, but as you read these verses and think about where we are in the Bible storyline, Israel on the edge of the promised land, there's this raging great river in between. Well, the situation that Israel are in is remarkably similar to the situation you and I find ourselves in. Because one day we will be in a promised land. Sure, the journey there isn't easy. But we can know that one day we will be in God's place with God's people under his rule and his blessing. Yes, there's a raging great big river, death, in between. But we can be strong and courageous because we have God's promise. So it doesn't matter what this next year brings, or the year after that, or the year after that. We have God's promise, and nothing can take that away. I want to read you a quote from how one pastor put this. Listen to this. Our hope isn't anchored in this present world, but in the world to come. Because this is true, our long-term worst-case scenario, our worst-case scenario is resurrection and everlasting life. Not bad, huh? An eternity of perpetual and unending strength, momentum, and bliss. The wind will forever be at our backs. It will be a world in which, as C.S. Lewis, the children's writer, said, every day will be better than the one before. It will also be a world in which, as J.R. Tolkien has said, everything sad will come untrue. Everything sad will come untrue. Friends, some things in life may change, but there are some things that always stay the same. So in life's changes, be strong and courageous, because you have God's promise. Can we say that together? Can you say that with me? In life's changes, you have God's promise. Let's try that again. And this is a bit different for us at Kensington Baptist Church, but New Year's resolutions and all that. Come on. In God's changes, you have God's promise. Okay, so there's a second thing we now see in these verses. And what's important for us to see is that God's promise is actually rooted in this second thing. I don't know if you picked up that from our verses. Let me read verse 5 to you again. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Did you see it there? The reason that God's promise hasn't changed is because God's presence hasn't changed. The people could be sure and confident that God would deliver on his promise for them because he was standing with them, defending them, fighting for them. And the death of Moses hadn't changed that. Sure, God had been with Moses, and so the people were able to have confidence in that too. But God now says to Joshua that like he was with Moses, he would be with him too. He would never leave him nor forsake him. They're remarkable words, aren't they? Because remember, God never changes. It's one of the things God can't do. We sometimes think that there is nothing that God can't do. Actually, there's a number of things God can't do, and this is one of them. God cannot change. One person's explained it like this. Every change is foreign to God. In him there is no change in time, for he is eternal. There's no change in place, for he is all present. There's no change in his essence or his kind of very being, for he is pure being. The God who created all things was not created by anything. The God who sustains all things is not dependent on anything. The God who rules over all things is not ruled by anything. And he was the one who would never leave or forsake Joshua. He was the one who would always be with him, supporting him, helping him. And if we carried on reading through the book of Joshua this morning, in fact, you might want to do that. If you're not reading regularly in the Bible at the moment, you're inspired by what Margaret was saying, start with Joshua. And as you read through chapter after chapter, that is exactly what you'll see. In life's changes, be strong and courageous, number two, because you have God's presence. That's the second thing God says to Joshua in our passage. And let me ask you, what difference do you think it would make to your life this coming year if those words were true for you too? Let me ask you that again. What difference might that make to your life this coming year if that second point was also true for you? Just think about that for a second. That no matter what changes you experience in your life over the next 12 months, you knew that it was God who was always going to be with you, supporting you, helping you, vying for you. What difference would it make? Perhaps what difference would it make to how you related to other people? What difference might it make to how you treated those who are less fortunate than you? What difference might it make to how you thought and used your money? If you knew that whatever changes came your way, the one who changes was always with you. Well, one of the remarkable things about the Bible, perhaps the most remarkable thing about the Bible, is that as we follow this storyline through Joshua, through the rest of the Old Testament, on through into the life of Jesus and the life of the early church, well, one of the most remarkable things is that we see that this promise that God made to Joshua, well, he also makes it to everyone here who's following Christ. He makes it to everyone who is following Christ. At the end of the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 13, the writer encourages Christians there, Christians probably of Jewish background, who knew the Old Testament really well. Well, he encourages them to keep loving one another, right? Keep showing hospitality to strangers. Encourages them to look out for those who are less fortunate than themselves. Avoid sexual immorality. Not love money. That's a good list of New Year's resolutions if I ever heard one. All good stuff. They're all things that we might want to be growing in this year. But what is it that the writer to the Hebrews roots it in? Let me read you. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Because God had said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Friends, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus this morning, you don't need to be afraid of life's changes. You don't need to be discouraged when unexpected things happen. Now, you can be strong and courageous. Why? Well, because as of our verse of the year says, the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. In life's changes, you can be strong and courageous because God is with you. You have God's presence by the power of the Holy Spirit. The same presence that raised Christ from the dead, that same power is now at work in you. And that promise isn't just for a few months, for a few years. No, it's a promise that will last forever. Because we will see Jesus face to face. That's going to be the best thing about that promised land that he promises us. We will be in Christ. God in Christ will be with us in a relationship that we were made for. So in life's changes, we can be strong and courageous because you have God's presence. Let's say that together. In life's changes, you can be strong and courageous because you have God's presence. And then thirdly, we've got God's promise and we've got God's presence. But there's one other thing we see from this passage that followers of Jesus have. And have a look down with me there to verse 7. It's God's word. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do you see the connection there between being strong and courageous, the presence of God, and then obeying God's word? Do you see how they link together? It was a great little kids' talk, wasn't it, that Margaret did. You know, being strong and courageous in these verses doesn't mean having to do all of those exercises, as Margaret made clear. It's not like gritting our teeth and doing a Hulk pose. No, it looks like Joshua obeying all that God commanded, all the instructions that God gave to Moses and then Moses gave to Joshua. So how can we hope to be strong and courageous in all the changes of life, all the changes that will lie ahead over these 365 days? Well, in these verses, God doesn't just tell Joshua to obey God's word, he tells him how. Do you see that? Verse 8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Reading, listening, meditating on God's word. It leads us to obeying God's word. Now, as Christians, we certainly aren't saved by how much of the Bible we might read or listen to or discuss with others. But those things often are a pretty good indicator of how much we're going to grow. And I've got to be the first one to hold up my hand and say that my habits of reading the Bible aren't often what I would want them to be. But if we're not reading God's words, well, we're going to forget God's promise. We're going to forget God's presence. And to stop that, Joshua was to keep God's word always on his lips, always in his mind, and we're to do the same. Whatever we think about New Year is a good time just to stop and reflect, isn't it? We can look back over the last year, and we can think of with great thankfulness about how the Lord has looked after us and kept us. We think of all the ways he's provided for us, all the things he has taught us. We can think back to the work that he's done in us, even perhaps through the really difficult things in this last year. And then we can look forward with faith and imagine that all he might do for us in this coming year. But as we do that, as we look with anticipation as to what the Lord will do for us, we need to realize that the way he will do that work, it's not through a mystical experience. It's not through like a religious technique, 5 quick steps to a good Christian life. He will do it through his word. I don't know if one of your New Year's resolutions is about Christian things. Maybe it's to pray more, but maybe it's to read the Bible more, meet with others to talk about it. Well, this was what makes this week of prayer such a great thing. For me, often when I find it slow to pray, my heart is hard. It's just great to pray with others. As they gospel me, as they speak God's word to me, and I'm encouraged by their prayers, and hopefully they're encouraged by mine. So even if you haven't been to one of our week of prayers before, please do come along to one of those prayer meetings, 9, 2, and 7:30 each day, Tuesday through to Friday, and then 9 a.m. on Saturday morning. In life's changes, you can be strong and courageous because you have God's word. Can you say that with me? In life's changes, you can be strong and courageous because you have God's word. I want to finish this morning by acknowledging that there might be some of us here who just haven't had the privilege of seeing God's work up close. Maybe we haven't had God's work amazingly in our life, help to show the seriousness of our sin and our need to turn to Jesus. It might be that we haven't had the privilege of seeing God do amazing work in the hearts of others. And so this morning, I wanted to finish by sharing with you a story that I came across back in the summer. It's a summer about 4 brothers and sisters who sadly lost both of their parents, actually really close together. One of these children was called Frank, and Frank had learning difficulties, and so Frank had never moved out. To begin with, the plan was really that the parents were looking after Frank. But as the other three children had moved out and the parents had got a lot older, well, more and more, Frank then started looking after his parents. And so you can imagine, can't you, that when the parents died, well, it affected all of the children. But for Frank, it felt like, well, literally his whole world was falling apart. Then it came to the reading of the will. And in the will, the parents had provided a special fund that was going to be administered by trustees to look after Frank and his needs going forward. And the family home, well, that would then be sold and proceeds divided by the 3 children. That was the arrangement that the parents had come to. The only problem was Frank refused to move out. The 3 children were accompanying like estate agents on like viewings. They would be at the gate. Frank just wouldn't open the door. He just wouldn't let them in. And let's just say emotions started running a little bit high. Maybe you've been in a situation like that yourself. Family difficulties, particularly around a will. I used to be a lawyer. I used to advise clients on it, and can you believe it? Somebody once even paid me to advise them on the legal rights to family photos. But let me read you what happened in this story. Because each of these children were Christians. And the daughter, Lisa was her name, well, she thought, oh, maybe it would be good to get our pastor involved, one of our church leaders. Maybe they can help talk us through it. And I just want to read you an excerpt from what happened in that meeting. Listen to this. All the children are there, apart from Frank. He's still in the house. And the pastor says, but there's something else to consider. All of you profess to be Christians. So what is the difference between the way you are handling this conflict and the way a good atheist would handle it? After several moments of awkward silence, Joe, one of the brothers, finally replied, I'm not sure I see your point. Let me put it another way, the pastor said. What is more important to you in this situation? To get your money as soon as possible, as most people would, or to demonstrate the love of Christ to your brother Frank? Oh, I see, said one of the other brothers. You want us to be good little Christians who just give in to others and walk away from what's rightfully ours? No, that's not what I'm saying, said the pastor. God loves justice, and he certainly wants you to respect your parents' wishes. But there is something he wants even more, to see you treating one another in a way that shows the power of the gospel in each of your lives. That sounds good, Pastor, one of them replied. But I just don't see how religion applies to this problem. If you really want to know, the pastor said, let's pray together right now and ask God to show you how you can resolve this conflict in a way that honors him and fulfills your parents' wishes. Well, the writer of this book, Ken Sande, goes on to say that God answered their prayers in a way that they just never expected. 3 weeks later, the entire family gathered around together, the extended family, for a banquet in a local restaurant. Elisa had somehow overcome Frank's fears and persuaded him out of the house, joined them for family dinner, and 12 nieces and nephews now are sat round this family dinner table. They're watched with rapt attention. Everybody knows about the tension that's been going down. And Frank walked into the room, and he nervously sat down at one end of the table. And then the eldest son, Joe, asked for everyone's attention. And then he said this. Frank, our family is gathered together today to honor you. For the past 10 years, you devoted yourself to caring for Mom and Dad. Today we want to present you with this special plaque. It says, to our brother Frank, the best of all sons, who cared for our mother with selfless love and undying devotion. Your companionship filled her life with joy and delight and was a constant reminder to her of the love of God. With deepest gratitude to a wonderful brother, from Joe, John, Lisa, and Matt. Well, tears started welling up in Frank's eyes as Joe handed him this plaque. And then before he could speak, Joe handed him an envelope. Frank, he went on, in appreciation for all you did for Mum, we want to give you this gift. It's an agreement we have all signed that gives you a life estate in the farmhouse, a life interest. You can live there as long as you want. We found a buyer who wants to buy the farmland, but as long as you want to live in that house, we want you to know that it's your home. Well, you can imagine, as Frank clutched this envelope, a dam of emotion finally broke. Months of uncertainty, Frank's anxiety at the change that was occurring to him. And as Joe leaned over and hugged his brother for the first time in years, well, this is what Joe's teenage son said. He leaned over to his sister, who was sat on the other side of the table, and he whispered this. Maybe there is a God after all. Because there's no way Dad would have done this on his own. Do you see what's going on there? Do you see what's going on there? In the middle of one of the greatest challenges, one of the greatest changes this family had ever experienced, they didn't choose to be petty and bitter, acting as if the family house was all there was in life. No, they realized that even in the midst of the greatest changes, there are some things that never change. And that enabled them to be strong and courageous. Not picking up physical axes, but fighting the spiritual enemy that plagues us all. They could be strong and courageous because they still had God's promise. They still had God's presence, and they still had God's words. But as I finish this sermon, I don't want the lasting thing for you to remember is that inspiring story of some family you've never met. No, what I want you to remember is the one who stood at the center of that story. And that's the person of Jesus Christ, huh? Jesus, the one to whom Moses and Joshua ultimately pointed. The one who remained strong and courageous, depending on God's promise, depending on God's presence, depending on God's word, even when everybody else gave it up. Jesus, the one who went to the cross for sinners like you and me. The one who, the only one, who died, was raised, and never to die again. Jesus is the one who lives these verses. He is the one who lives out this motto verse. In the year AD 3 and in the year 2023. And he is the reason that it can be our motto text this year. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord God will be with you wherever you go. Father God, we praise you for the Lord Jesus, the better Moses, the better Joshua. Lord, we know that life is full of changes, and we can often feel pretty weak and anxious in the midst of them. But we praise you for Christ, the one who lives this verse, so that we can too, by his Spirit working in us. And we pray that this year, 2023, you would help us to remember your promise, remember your presence, and to remember and to keep leaning on your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.